Hello, and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Gurley-Tomaszewski, and I am the Executive Director for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells' mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support local nonprofits through funding, and now with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. To learn more, go to unitedwaybb.org or visit our Facebook page. Or you can call United Way Battlement to the Bells at 970-625-8189. Today on our show, we are supporting KDNK and their membership drive with our special guest, Wick Moses, one of KDNK's godfathers, so to speak. Welcome, Wick.
Why, thank you, Tracy.
One moment here. There you are,
oh,
Wick.
Boy.
Sorry.
One moment for your connection. Thank you, Tracy. It is absolutely, it's phenomenal to be back here in this studio after having been here for a long time and then gone away, but I'm still here.
You are, and you get to experience with me today what it means to truly be on KDNK with a guest DJ. So thank you for being patient with me.
Well, just remember Mike 3.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, shall we talk a little bit?
Absolutely. Okay. I would like, you had started earlier today telling me a little bit more about the history of KDNK Mountain Fair Carbondale, really.
Right. Well, I should say that I came out here to CRMS in 1963, and I was here from 63 to 66. And then I went to DU for 4 years and came back and taught at CRMS for a couple of years. And in 72, I was playing in a band. I was the token rock and roll guitar player in a jazz band. and they said, hey, we're going to go play this thing in the park. And I thought, oh, Carbondale has a downtown park, doesn't it? And so we came over, and in what is now the town park, which was extremely funky at the time, there was a stage which was plywood on top of railroad ties, and there were a few crafts booths, and most people were having a good time, and we played at it. And the interesting thing was, there were all kinds of people from town, and by that time, you know, Carbondale had kind of changed over to beginning what it is now. There had been an influx of some people from Aspen, notably Lori Loeb, who had the brilliant idea for the Chautauqua, and then, of course, for the mountain fairs, and a bunch of other people, you know, hippies who would come in to, you know, work around here. And the thing that happened was that Chautauqua triggered the idea to have the mountain fair the following year. And I had opened up a hi-fi and record shop in downtown Carbondale at that time, which was, you know, that's another story. And I got on the original fair board, and we came out, you know, we decided we wanted to do the fair a little bigger and make it into a you know, Friday afternoon through Sunday.
3-day
get some
event.
More music.
Yeah.
And we put the word out for volunteers. And it turned out, and this was sort of the pattern for the fair that still exists. On Friday morning, or Thursday afternoon, all of these carpenters showed up, and we brought a flatbed truck into the park, and they built a stage, and you know, we had, and I had the, I did the sound for it for the first few years, and you know, and again, it was, you know, at that time it still was pretty small, but that was really the root of where all of these nonprofits came from. Because further on down the road, the fair got obviously bigger and bigger. The board, which was essentially just the fair, became the CCAH. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that led into what we now have in this rather astounding organization, you know, located here in town. And the thing that...
And you mean CCAH?
Well, it was the Carbondale Council on Arts and Humanities, which is now
very good.
The Arts Council,
and
or Carbondale Arts, or you know, I can't remember which name they keep they've changed. But anyway, thank you, Amy, if you're out there.
Absolutely, thank
you. Sorry, but anyway, that you know the thing that was interesting about this whole process was all the fair ran on volunteers. And all of us gave of our time, all of us, you know, gave of our expertise in our individual areas, and nobody got anything out of it. We were not looking for, you know, financial reward or whatever. We mostly were doing this because we realized that in order to make something happen here, we all had to come together. And consequently, right now, we are asking you to come together with your wallet and your credit card and give us a call at 963-0139. That's 963-0139. So the fair continued on, obviously, through the 70s. And John Palmer and Pat Noel had this brilliant idea to put a talent show on in 1979. So they got the Crystal Theater, which at that time was what it was like back, you know, way back, and they put on a talent show. And again, it was the same sort of thing, volunteers for it.
Sure.
And that actually, that had a money component to it, but they donated the money to causes and things like that in themselves. And it was, and it, that turned into a spectacular series of productions that went on, you know, into the 80s and the early 90s. And, you know, again, all of this started with the Mountain Fair. All of it depended upon people giving of their time and their energy and coming together to do it. And the next thing that happened was KDNK.
Yeah.
In 1982, I knew Lee Swidler because he had a lock shop here in town. And, of course, my hi-fi and record shop was downtown, too. So I used to stop in and, you know, chat with him periodically. And so we got to be friends. And it turned out that he had this idea because of a friend of his who had, was in Telluride and had been involved with the start of CODO.
Okay.
Which is the Telluride station. And named Jerry Green, and you know, and he kept on encouraging Lee to do the same thing. So Lee decided, well, why not?
Sure.
And so they cast about for a station manager. I was thinking that my store was going to sell for a lot of money. Silly me, because it was in financial straits. And speaking of financial straits, we do actually need money for this radio station to
Absolutely.
Keep it going.
We
and
do.
So the key thing is, remember, folks, that when you get a chance, either now or later on, give us a call at 963-0139 because, you know, in order to keep this thing rolling, it does take money. This is not like a little hippie mountain fair in the middle of the park. Anyway, so he had this idea to do this, and he hired myself and Pat Noel to be co-managers. And Pat dropped out, and I kind of basically, you know, sort of began to take my audio skills, because I'd been involved in the audio
sure.
industry, and turn that into, gee, let's assemble these parts.
Sure.
And it was, I could probably talk about it for 15 or 20 minutes, what went into it. But the key thing again was, when the government grant came through and we had equipment coming in, we actually had this, we got this space up in the Dinkle building, which was, you know, I mean, here's a building that was, you know, built around the turn of the previous century and was not exactly palatial. And again, a whole bunch of people came out of the, no pun intended, woodwork and put their energies and their skills into actually constructing a studio and
Yay.
An office. And yes, indeed, it was pretty funky. But we put that thing on the air. And again, it wasn't, I want to emphasize, it wasn't just me. It took a collective effort of
Absolutely.
A lot of people. And all of these people, for the most part, gave of their time. We did pay, obviously, an electrician.
Sure.
We had a couple of engineers who worked on, you know, getting the equipment up and running, because that was more than I could handle. And so they did get paid. But by and large, everybody who worked on that, you know, was doing it out of the love of the community and the belief in the station.
That's amazing.
So, on April 15th, in 1983, we threw the switch and it started. And the station at that time was broadcasting through an antenna that was up on the side of the Dinkle building. You can still see the tower. And I'd assembled a whole bunch of people who volunteered to be DJs and given them training. We had a setup that was across the street in the concrete building that's there and mm-hmm. that office building there. And I set everything up and I trained people how to do it. And basically, being a DJ is not that hard. And the other thing is, the other thing about it too was most of the people who got on the air had grown up listening to radio,
sure.
like myself.
Sure.
And so it was kind of a natural thing to do. And because another thing about all this time was there was hardly any entertainment around here. I mean, mm-hmm. think about the world in which, you know, there was cable TV in Carbondale, but there was no cable TV outside of Carbondale. Satellite dishes, you know, were like the one by the side of the building, and only people who had, you know, made a lot of money could get them. And so we were dependent upon three or four TV channels that came in by translator and, you know, and radio,
right.
which was sketchy because of the valleys. So this really, the radio stations at that time were kind of formatted as, you know, AOR rock stations or country stations
right.
or whatever. And KDNK, because of all the volunteer DJs, you know, became like this eclectic music station. As it is today. And we were the first station to really broadcast bluegrass music.
Oh, really?
Which at that time was just kind of beginning to get kind of a buzz about it. You know, the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, which was such a huge thing now, was very, very small. There's a big jazz festival, but the bluegrass festival was small. So we were able to start that kind of thing, and it just sort of grew like Topsy.
Right.
And the thing is, too, the community really pitched in. And, of course, obviously, at that time, our broadcast signal was pretty much just Carbondale and a little bit out on 133 and 82. So we mostly drew on the community. It also, interestingly enough, was a very, very rough time financially. For those of you who may know the history of the valley, it's been through a lot of booms and busts, and we were definitely on a bust mode right then. And, you know, it really was difficult. But again, people really got into the station in town.
And absolutely. Well, you know, Wick, when I moved here in 2007, the people that I moved in with had KDNK on in the kitchen always. It was just part of our lives.
Right. And that's exactly what happened with the station. And it became the mainstay for people who wanted to listen to alternative music and also liked the fact that they weren't being pushed to buy something.
Right.
You know, come on down. But on the other hand, we want you to call 963-0139.
That's
right. Now, operators are standing by, 963-0139, or go to the KDNK website at kdnk.org. And so the thing was that the station began, because we were able to be, you know, semi-successful and obviously operate on a very, very low budget, when the economy began to turn around, as it always does, things, you know, improved. The station, you know, ended up putting a transmitter up on Sunlight Peak. And Pitkin County very graciously, you know, put us on their translator system, so we were able to cover the Crystal River Valley and up by Basalt and also up in Aspen and Snowmass. So that's kind of the story.
It's such a great story. It's such a great story that should be retold as often as possible. It's so important to this community and to this radio station.
Well, somewhere living in Dad, the computer program.
Yep.
There was a station manager back in the early 90s named Missy Bowen, who did a fantastic, you know, clip together. And this, of course, was in the days when it was, you know, we were using magnetic tape.
Sure.
You know, magnetic tape now. And so she did this amazing thing, which stitched all this stuff together archival, you know, recordings, you know, sound checks, that sort of thing, and came up with this amazing program. And it should be somewhere buried in Dad.
I'm sure someone here stumbles across it occasionally.
Not that we're going to go rooting through the computer to try to find it.
No. Guest DJs, we don't do that.
No.
That's not part of our job description. So you've been a part of this community since you were a young teenager.
Well, back in when I went to CRMS from, you know, during that 63 to 66 period, Carbondale had gotten slammed because the Thompson Creek coal mine closed.
Okay.
And the population dropped from 700 down to 400.
Wow.
The only time we ever came into Carbondale was for potato day because the school didn't feed us lunch. So we'd come down and watch the parade, which at that time was so small, it went around a couple of blocks, then it came back and run around again. And of course, they had, you know, they had a barbecue pit down by the one school. And so that was my experience with Carbondale. We also used to come into United Lumber and buy wood and stuff. And just, you know, because we did a lot of you know, projects around the school as work crews. But Carbondale was really kind of like, you know, gee, let's see, would I go to Aspen or would I go to Carbondale? Let me think about this for a nanosecond. So we spent a lot of time skiing up in Aspen and stuff and all that. And Glenwood was the place we went to shop. So Carbondale, you know, when I came back here and started teaching, aside from going to the Black Nugget to, you know, to have a pitcher of beer with my buddies, you know, which was an interesting experience at that time. You know, again, Carbondale was not really the happening place. It really wasn't until that Chautauqua.
Right.
I'd actually begun to meet some people beforehand. So I kind of got a sense that, you know, things were really starting to change.
And that Chautauqua is essentially what Mountain Fair grew from.
Correct.
So that's what really kind of started bringing the community together.
Exactly. And so there's kind of this neat little thread that runs through from that all the way to right now. And once more, everything we do around here operates on an enormous volunteer, but, you know, source.
Absolutely.
You know, the radio station, the Mountain Fair, all of these nonprofit organizations have a good collection of volunteers. And one of the things that I've really liked about what's been going on here over the years is Carbondale can still generate all of those people to volunteer.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
A call to action in this town really brings people out.
Right.
Well, and I would say for this valley, actually, that's very true.
Yeah. Well, I think up and down the valley, we all realize that, you know, nonprofits are, you know, something that are very, very special and to be taken good care of.
Yeah. Especially our nonprofits that serve the community. And I think that's why it's so important for United Way to have this partnership with KD&K, as well as so many of our other partner nonprofits. But it's really that heart of service to the community.
Right.
What's raised here stays here. We support our community, and that foundation of belief is really what KD&K is about.
Right. And that's why right now, dear listener, we need you to, if you're in your car, pull over. But in any event, call 963-0139.
Please do, folks.
And obviously, you can also go to the KD&K website. That's kdnk.org. Click on donate. And because all of you young people out there, that's how you do things.
It's true.
And some people who are not so young, you know, you can do that.
Absolutely. One thing that I grew up in a very rural area in Colorado, and we had the same, it was K and B, no, let's see, K and BC, something like this. It was our local radio station, and it was literally the lifeline. The morning newscast you always listen to, everyone would get to school and we would be talking about the community calendar or whatever was happening in the community. And I see that buzz generated by KD&K.
Right.
Did you hear the lost pet report? Did you did you hear that crazy lady from United Way? She has a silly show. How did that happen? But there's just so much support for community radio here. But what people I think sometimes forget is that in the case of an emergency, community radio really is your lifeline. It is right. going to be how you get information.
Right.
If you have a radio, you can turn it on and you will be able to find KD&K, and from there you will be able to know what's happening.
Right.
Everything else goes down, you're really out of luck.
Yeah, well.
So, I mean, that's doomsday, but I have to say that that was something I experienced multiple times with different
right.
natural disasters where I grew up. And so I think it's important to remember that that is why supporting KD&K and community radio is so, so vital to your community.
Right. I used to, when we used to, we'd still do EAS tests, which are required by the federal government.
Absolutely.
And afterwards, I always said, if this had been an actual emergency and the end of the world, you would have been told to bend over and just fill in the blanks.
But hey, Wick, just real quick, you actually DJed here for a very long time.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
26 years.
Wow. And primarily, what did you, what
were
your
shows? One thing I should say is, I moved over to Denver for work and love in 1988.
Okay.
And ended up moving back here in 92. So there was a four-year gap when I was gone, although I came up for a mountain fair.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
You know, and I, of course, I maintained my membership in KDNK. So when I came back, and I started out doing a Monday morning jazz show.
Mm-hmm.
When I started the store, I had ended up deciding that, you know, I really like rock, obviously. I grew
sure.
up with it. And I kind of felt like it was sort of in a doldrum period. And the band that I played in, who were all jazz musicians, got me started listening to jazz. And because of the fact that, you know, thanks to the store and having having an account at an amazing record distributor that had $17 million worth of records back
wow.
in the 70s, you know, I bought a lot of jazz. So I did jazz shows.
Okay. Very good.
And occasionally I'd obviously do rock shows too, but when I subbed, but it was jazz.
Yeah.
And I think jazz is, jazz is the true American art form.
Absolutely.
And if you appreciate the art form of all of this, 963-0139. We can't say it enough. 963.
We certainly cannot.
0139.
I always appreciate KD&K because I tend to appreciate more eclectic music as well. And I just love the variety that our guest DJs or our DJs here play on a regular basis. It's one of the only stations that I know I can turn to and hear something new on a regular basis. They're
right.
not just playing the same top 40 over and over.
Over and over.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Repetition is the... there's something about it, but I am going to repeat 963-0139 one more time.
I really appreciate that. And Wick, I can't thank you enough for stepping in and helping me out today. This show was kind of a last minute collaboration with Raleigh and myself to really make sure that we supported the membership drive, and this connection with United Way and KD&K was upheld and celebrated. So thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me, Tracy with an I.
That's correct.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Stratton, Colorado. So, Eastern Plains of Colorado near Burlington.
Oh, yeah. Right. Kansas almost.
Absolutely. Yep. If you got lost hunting, you might just find yourself in a new state. That's where I grew up. But thank you again for being
sure.
here.
Well, no, thank you for the voodoo that you do
oh,
so well.